Hicken here, and when I need to send a floral arrangement, Kuhn Flowers is my choice. To say thanks, send condolences, or just to say hello, may I suggest you use Kuhn Flowers as well. Call 398-8601, 398-8601, or kuhnflowers.com.
Now, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Leon Searcy.
Minshew drops the throw. Fires to the right corner of the end zone. Once Keelan Cole in the right corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Keelan Cole with the score, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio. And with that, the Jacksonville Jaguars go to Cincinnati, Ohio today, and they leave with a 27-17 win. It was a must-win situation for Jacksonville. Cincinnati is, quite frankly, they're not very good. And Jacksonville goes in there, does what they need to do, get out of there with a 10-point win. The Jags now 3-4 on the season. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you, and Big Leon. Jags needed this one today. Wasn't always pretty, but the bottom line is they had more points at the end of the day, and it's a big W coming back to Duval County.
Oh, absolutely, it's a big W. Listen, when you play a bad team, you're supposed to expose them for what they struggle with, all right? They can't stop the run, so we had over 200 yards rushing. They turn the ball over. Dalton gives us three, all right? And they don't do a great job protecting the passer, and we got after him with sacks. So, I mean, we did everything that we're supposed to do when you play against a bad team. I was concerned that the Jaguars going into this game was going to play to the level of the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a very bad team. And for the first quarter and a half or maybe two quarters, it looked like they were, because we got in the red zone and all we did was kick field goals. We couldn't punch it in. And, it's good and dandy that we beat the Bengals the way we beat them. But when you go up against formidable teams down the road, we got to do a lot better job in scoring points, touchdowns instead of field goals, especially in the red zone.
That's what I was going to ask you. And Doug Marrone even talked about this in the postgame. The red zone was not very good today. The Jaguars went up and down the field in the first half. I didn't mind going for it on fourth and goal at the half-yard line. I know you're an offensive lineman, okay? A very good one at that. So I think you're going to disagree with me here. But on fourth and goal from the half-yard line there in the first quarter, you got basically 22 men, most of whom are 280 pounds or heavier, all within an 8-9 yard circle of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why do teams want to run right up the middle when you have 2,000 pounds of defense right there over the ball? I don't know why you don't do a toss sweep or a bootleg. Get it to the outside.
Well, the chances are better actually inside, believe it or not, Hackney, because you got to think if you're running a toss or a bootleg, you actually have to go more yardage. I mean, we only had two. Now, if we're doing a bootleg or we run something to the outside, you literally got to run 8 to 10 yards before you get into the end zone. So, and when I was watching the play, what happened was, as that the Cincinnati Bengals defensive line slanted to the left, all right, which picked off one of our players, our guard and our tackle looked like they were supposed to work together to the middle linebacker. They slanted, knocked Norwell down. The tackle wasn't able to get to the mic. When Leonard jumped, the mic linebacker was free, so he met him right there in the hole.
It
was a great play.
Now look, Minshew mania had taken over Northeast Florida. Minshew mania had kind of gotten derailed last week by New Orleans. By the way, that Saints defense is just completely shutting down Mitchell Trubisky for what it's worth right now in Chicago. That Saints defense is pretty good. Your overall assessment on Gardner Minshew today, 15 of 32. Uh-huh. So not a great completion percentage, but 255 yards, one touchdown, zero picks. He also had a two-point conversion, which you need to take that into account. And then he ran the ball 9 times for 48 yards. Your thoughts on Minshew today?
Listen, as much as I love Minshew mania, he doesn't need to be the star of this offense. Leonard Fournette needs to be the star. He needs to be the battering ram. And that's what we got going. He got 29 carries for over 130 yards. I think for the most part, the offensive line did an outstanding job blocking. you know, getting to the second level, getting pushed on the one and the three technique, getting to the Mike linebacker. But, yeah, listen, I love guard dimension. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do, all right? He's completing, what, 50% of his pass. I like to see that a little bit better. Now, we knew going into the rest of the season that he wasn't going to be 70% or 75% like he was when he started off the season. But good thing he didn't do today. He didn't turn the ball over.
No. Nope.
He didn't throw an interception. He didn't fumble. And he got back to his scrambling ways. He went through his progressions. He didn't see anything. He didn't panic in the pocket, and he ran.
Jacksonville phone lines are open to you, 641-1010. If you want to get involved in the fifth quarter, you are more than welcome to do so. Your phone calls just around the corner, 641-1010. Gardner Minshew did not have – why I shouldn't say that. He had a lot of help from his wide receivers. Dede Westbrook had a great game. Chris Conley reemerged a little bit. DJ Chark had a couple of nice grabs. But, Leon, there were a lot of drops out there from everybody. Mm-hmm. Dede had one. Chark had a couple. Conley had one. I mean, you got to help your rookie out. And 15 of 32 isn't great, but that's probably because just off the top of my head, I can think of, I believe, four drops that his wide receivers didn't reel in.
Yeah, that's too many. But I can tell you this. They played better than they played last week against the Saints defense. Now, the Saints defense, their secondary is lights out compared to the Cincinnati Bengals. So they needed a bounce back game. Because when you saw them in the Saints game, there was, I dare say, they quit on a lot of their routes against the Saints. You know, Gardner threw a lot of incomplete passes because the receivers quit on their routes. I saw them go for balls. Now, they dropped a lot of balls. They should have caught. But they went after the ball today. So they helped their quarterback out in going into this game. So it was definitely a bounce back game compared to how they played against the Saints, and they play a lot better against the Bengals.
Seven games in, Leonard Fournette, 715 yards rushing. If you do the average on that, let me do the Wolfson math here, that would put him over 1,600 yards for the year that he's on pace for. We talk about Leonard Fournette having to be the star of this offense. Boy, it looks like Leonard Fournette of 2017. The guy is out there making plays, trying to run over people. He looks healthy, and statistically, Leonard Fournette now is among the top three running backs in football.
You know what? He may be better than 2017 because he's getting a lot of the balls out of the backfield as well. I mean, not only is he pounding the ball, you know, averaging, what, 4 yards a carry, something like that, in between four.
I mean, five yards a carry. Yeah.
But he's also catching the ball out of the backfield. Now, he didn't have too many today, but they've been utilizing him that much in that effect in the offense. So I don't think he was that effective out of the backfield in 2017. He was just, you know, a battering ram. But I think he's got a little bit more versatility this year. So I expect him to probably have a better season this year than he had in 2017.
That is former Jacksonville Jaguar Pro Bowl offensive tackle Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. And you are the city of Jacksonville. Your Jaguars victorious 27-17 over the Cincinnati Bengals. And let's get the phone lines right now. 641-1010 is the phone number. We will begin this edition of the fifth quarter by going to my neck of the woods, going to Mandarin. And let's bring up Tyler here on 1010XL. Tyler, how you doing?
Boys, Duval! Let's go, Lemon Pepper Man! Sausage Guy, come on!
Tyler, you sound fired up. You sound fired up, my man.
All right. So, this is Tyler from the trail. Here we go. My question is, when are we going to pay Jan, and when do we pay Leo? I will take your answers off the air.
Tyler, thank you for the phone call. Well, they can't pay Leonard Fournette till after this year because Leonard Fournette, you with the way the CBA is written up, you have to be in the league at least 3 years before you can renegotiate your rookie contract. That's why it took Miles Jack to this point. And, you know, so the Leonard Fournette this offseason, that conversation can happen. The conversation did already happen with Ngakoue. Ngakoue played well today, obviously the pick six. But, yeah, I mean, you had guys stepping up. And obviously, you know, with all the Jalen Ramsey soap opera, again, I don't know, Leon, if you saw that interview that Jalen Ramsey did with Ryan Clark. It was on ESPN Countdown this morning. By the way, Jaguar fans, ESPN Countdown only played a snippet of that. It was a 26-minute interview that Jalen Ramsey did with ESPN. If you want to go watch it, if you're so inclined, feel free. I have a lot of issues with what Jalen Ramsey had to say. Mm-hmm. We'll address those more tomorrow on XL Primetime. This is really to break down the game itself. But it was good to get a win. It was good to see Ngakoue play well. It was good to see Miles Jack play well, your young defensive guys, to get kind of the Jalen soap opera behind you and get out of there with a W.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the Jalen thing is passe. I mean, we're focusing on the guys that played today, and the defense played outstanding. All right, defense played outstanding. You know, Miles Jack had the pick. I'm concerned about the lateral. If you're going to lateral the football,
was he channeling his inner Chris Hudson? That was my initial thought. Remember, Hudson did that in the playoffs and turned into a fumble.
Make sure the guy's behind you. Okay, you can't hand the ball off to the guy in front of you.
I think Ronnie Harrison was as surprised as I was absolutely. That Miles Jack did that.
That definitely could have been devastating, but that was an outstanding pick that he made. I mean, the pick by Ngakoue was just special. I mean, he was rushing, he got blocked. And then he read the quarterback eyes, and he picked the ball and took it for a touchdown. So the defense as a whole did exactly what they were supposed to do. I knew going into the game that the Bengals were bad, and they played bad. And we exposed them for being the bad team that they are. They're what, 0-7 now?
0-7.
0-7 now? I mean, Andy Dalton. I mean,
Andy Dalton threw more interceptions today, this afternoon, than Gardner Minshew has thrown this entire season.
Oh, yeah. Well,
think about that for a second.
Well, you said the guy behind him probably should play after this.
They got a rookie in Ryan Finley from NC State.
Yeah, it's time. It's way past time. I mean, some of his reads on some of those passes that he threw, I mean, it was just awful. Now, granted, we made some good breaks in intercepting the ball, but they were just some awful passes.
Yeah, Cincinnati is not in a good way right now. Let's go to the west side, get Darren up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Darren, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. It's good to get into winning column again. And two comments. There was about six drops, to be honest with you. That was the messiest part to me. Offensive line need to clean it up a little bit. And then I got a question to ask you. Which way? It's in Ngakoue. Yeah, baby. Duval.
Darren, appreciate it. Which way? It's in Ngakoue. You know, look, Josh Allen. 5 sacks for a rookie in 7 games. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he's on pace now for double-digit sacks. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, J.J. Watt's rookie year in Houston, I think he had 5 sacks. Josh Allen is where J.J. Watt was after his rookie year in Houston.
And he has 3 sacks in the last 3 games.
Yeah, he's getting better, right?
He's getting better, absolutely. He's getting a lot better.
So a lot of the young guys contributed. Again, Ngakoue, Miles Jack. I liked what I saw to Ronnie Harrison. A.J. Boye. I don't know, man. I mean, there was, you know, the Cincinnati passing game isn't exactly a well-oiled machine, and I know people are going to challenge Herndon, and I get that. You'd like to think Boye has things on the other side pretty locked down. I don't think that was the case today.
No.
Boye, to me, needs to play better.
Yeah, he has to step his game up. I mean, because now he is the veteran. Well, he's been the veteran on the team, but he's the star power now that Mr. Ramsey's gone. I mean, he's the all-pro. He's the guy that you're going to look to that's going to lock down their best receiver week in and week out. So, I mean, he can't have any disappointing games. And he played average today. He played average at best, but we can't have him playing average. He's got to be star-studded because he's got to be the leader of the secondary.
Let's head to Buffalo, New York, get our man Junior up here on the fifth quarter. Junior, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen. Great to talk to you with a great win today. We needed that win after the crazy week that everybody had in Jacksonville. But there was things on this that, like I said, the red zone area where there was questions in the first half because I was kind of worried about this game that the Jaguars were going to play to, like Mr. Searcy said, to the level of their opponent. And in the first half of that game, we saw that. Hopefully next Sunday they get a little momentum going and don't do this with the Jets. And when we get in the red zone, we'll put more points on the board next week. And I'll talk to you guys next week, guys.
Hey, Junior, thank you. Appreciate it. Junior, big-time Jaguar fan up there in Buffalo. By the way, the Bills are 5-1. I'm sure most of Buffalo and New York, other than Junior, is having Bills fever right now with the Bills at 5-1. Their only loss was like by a field goal to the Patriots. Mm. Buffalo might actually be pretty good. Next week, and we'll get more into this in the 7 o'clock hour, but just a brief glimpse. Next week's enormous because you're playing a New York Jet team that's going to have a short week. Keep in mind, the Jets play tomorrow night against that same Patriots team I just mentioned. So the Jets are already going to be behind the 8-ball in a short week. You're at home. And, Leon, I don't think words can explain the difference between a 3-5 football team and a 4-4 football team. You have the opportunity to get back to 500, and all you have to do is win a home game next week against a team that's currently 1-4 on the season.
Well, listen, this is where the Jaguars want to be right now. They want to be in the divisional hunt. That's why this game was so pivotal, okay? We couldn't afford to lose this game. So the Jaguars came out and did what they were supposed to do. Now next week's game is even bigger because we win that game, we're 4-4. The Colts beat the Texans. So a lot of those teams that were two games in front of us, a game and a half, whatever in front of us, they're pulling down. So now the we go 4-4 against the Jets. Next week we go into London. Clear-cut advantage to us because we've played in London. We know the experience and the Texans have it. So that might be a game that, you know, we could steal away. So next thing you know, we're 5-4. 5-4 could essentially have us tied for the divisional lead in the AFC South. So these games become bigger and bigger week after week.
Interested your perspective on this. 11 years in the National Football League. Miles Jack was being interviewed by Jeff Loggeman today after the game. And he's celebrating, obviously. Miles Jack said something that I very rarely hear NFL players say. It's like, we knew how big this was and we want to get to 5-4. Our goal was to get to 5-4 by the bye week. It's one thing for Leon Searcy, radio broadcaster, to say that, or it's one thing for Ryan the Hacker Green, radio broadcaster, to say that. But to have an NFL player, and I kind of like it. Dempsey and JP were talking about it. It's always next game is the biggest, one game at a time. You know, you always hear that, right? Well, Miles Jack said, no, look, our goal was to be 5-4, to win the next two. That was almost kind of refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, because I like players who aren't robots. I like players who speak their minds. And it's so cliche to say, well, we're just worried about the next game. Yeah, the next game is fine. You're playing against a Jets team that's only won one game and they beat the Dallas Cowboys. No, you're better than the Jets. Okay, now you got to go show it on Sunday, granted, and you got to prepare like you're going to play, you're going to beat them on Sunday. But you're looking at the Jets like they're not a better team than us. So you might want to lock – you're saying to yourself as a team in the locker room, you would never say it to the media. Well, I'm surprised Miles Jack said it. But that's cool. That's fine. That's confidence. Look, we're playing good enough right now where we should beat the Jets, and we go to London where we're comfortable with, and a Texan team that's beatable. Okay, when they beat the Chiefs, everybody's like, wow, the Texans, they're looking good. But they're beatable. They've lost to the Colts, and they can be beat. And I think the Jaguars have a shot.
I think the Colts, by the way, the Jaguars still play Indy twice, which is kind of why I wanted Indy to win today, and they did. I think the Colts are pretty good. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he's not Andrew Luck, obviously. I'm never going to make that comparison. But he is Jacoby Brissett, and he's playing well right now.
Well.
And the Colts are 4-2. Let's go to Tallahassee, get Jonathan in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Jonathan, what's going on, man?
Duval!
Big win today.
That helps us. That'd help salvage some of my football this weekend.
Jonathan, you've been hating life on Saturday afternoons, I imagine, pretty much all year long over there.
Yeah, I've been frustrated with Taggart.
I don't blame you. At least the Jaguars got one for you today, though.
Yeah. Here's my problem, though, with the Jaguars. When we get in the red zone, I really think we need to start settling for touchdowns more than field goals because field goals won't help you win games.
Well, Jonathan, appreciate the phone call. I would love to, quote, settle for touchdowns. That'd be a great settlement.
Exactly.
I mean, they're trying to score, but, I mean, with red zone problems, Leon, you can address this. I mean, why does it get harder? You move the ball so well, 70 yards down the field. Yeah. You get inside that 10, that 15-yard line, just seem to get hunkered in down there.
Well, I think effectively because our tight end play is missed.
Yeah.
If we had a formidable tight end that we could go to, that could be the bailout for Minshew because the secondary is doing an outstanding job. You got to remember the secondary, they have an extra man because they've got the back of the end zone. They've got the sideline of the end zone. The closer you get to scoring a touchdown, it plays into the defensive back's favors because they can use the out of bounds as an extra defender. So they're doing that against our wide receivers, and then they're stopping our run. So when we do run the ball, if we play action, we're having to play action to wide receivers or running backs coming out the backfield. If we had a formidable tight end that we could go to in the red zone, I think it would be a lot more effective scoring points.
By the way, to update you on the late action going on, Tennessee's actually beating the Chargers right now in the fourth quarter. Ryan Tannehill and the Titans up 16-10 on the Los Angeles Chargers, 12.5 to go. You like the Chargers to win that one. Don't want Tennessee to get a lot of confidence. New Orleans is up on Chicago, 19-10. The Ravens and the Seahawks all tied at 13 midway through the third. Marcus Peters has been in Baltimore for 5 days. He had about a 70-yard pick six off of Russell Wilson. Hey, Marcus Peters, welcome to Baltimore. So those are the late games. We will keep you updated. Let's head to downtown Jacksonville. Let's get Marcus up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Marcus, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I got two things to say. Jalen Ramsey left us, and here we get four interceptions. Ain't that something? They're going to come and bunk you. And another thing, nobody's saying anything about Taven Bryant. Taven Bryant caused that interception and got what he got. He's been playing really good lately, and, you know, I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for the Jaguars. I think we're going to be in there. We're going to do good.
Hey, Marcus, thank you. The Taven Bryant point's a good one because, look, I personally was very hard on him in the preseason, collectively as a unit, Leon. I think all four of us on XL Primetime were pretty hard on Taven Bryant. Taven Bryant's playing better. I'm not going to say he's where you want a first-round pick to be, but clearly there's been signs of improvement
there.
Well,
he's been disruptive, and that was the whole key. I mean, early on in the preseason, I mean, we labeled him Velcro because he couldn't get off of blocks, to be quite honest with you. But at the last couple of games that you've watched him, I'm not saying he's getting sacks or tackle for loss, but he's getting penetration, and he's being disruptive. And he did, if I can remember correctly, he did put some pressure on Dalton, which led to that interception.
There was that. There was a nice tackle in the backfield where he got penetration and tackled Mixon 3-4 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. So he's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing his job.
Absolutely.
He's absolutely serviceable at this point. Marino, Mitch, all you guys hang in there. You'll be in on the other side. Jacksonville, if you want to get in, there is room for you. 641-1010 is the phone number with Leon Searcy, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. The Jaguars, a 27-17 winner today over the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Jaguars improved now to 3-4 on the year. Your phone calls next with you till 8 o'clock. Glad you're with us. The fifth quarter rolls on. The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We're presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley Davidson Motorcycles right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now motion, shotgun from Minshew. Dropping again is Gardner. Goes to the back of the end zone. Chris Conley has it, and the two-point conversion is good. Minshew to Conley in the back of the end zone. The two-point conversion is good, and that extends the lead to 17-10.
Frank Franchi, Jaguars Radio. I thought that might have been Gardner Minshew's best pure throw of the day. I mean, no one might even remember it because of all the great plays by Ngakoue and the touchdown to Cole that set up that two-point. Watch Minshew's throw to Conley. You want to talk about just a rifle into the back of the end zone. And it was a great catch by Conley because Minshew threw that thing.
Yeah, it was outstanding throw. And we needed those 2 points.
It was big. It'd be 15-10 is a lot different, obviously, than 17-10. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. Back to your phone calls in one moment. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you an offensive player of the game. It is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. E, let's do it now. The local Hyundai dealers offensive player of the game.
Now your local Hyundai dealers present the offensive player of the game.
Leon, you mentioned him earlier. 29 carries, 131 yards. He added two catches for an additional 14 yards. Bottom line, it was 145 yards for Leonard Fournette from scrimmage today. He now has 900 yards from scrimmage this season if you combine receiving and rushing. And Leonard Fournette was a vital, vital reason why the Jaguars improved to 3-4 in the year.
Oh, yeah. He got it done today. Him and the offensive line got it done. Now, I was a little concerned early on because Geno Atkins just went unleashed on them in the game.
I was telling the buddy of mine, one of my buddies I was watching the game with, I said maybe the game plan is just not to block Geno Atkins. Because if that was the game plan, they were doing it to a T in the first quarter.
In the first quarter, Geno Atkins got loose on the run game. He had two quick sacks, you know, on a twist game, and then he just ran over poor Richardson. He just ran him over.
Yeah, Richardson, right.
Oh, he just ran him straight over.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see many people run over Will Richardson.
I know Will Richardson is, what, 6'8", 345, and Geno Atkins just pushed him back like he was a little baby doll. But he got after it. I mean, he got after it pretty good. It was good to see them later on in the game neutralize him because that effectively gave us We protected the Minshew better. We ran the ball better. And Leonard Fournette just got it done. He got it done. He was a battering ram. He wasn't indecisive in his cuts. He would run. He'd see the cut, hit the hole, and he hit the hole hard. So I think he should be the offensive player of the game because he played outstanding today.
Back to the phone line, 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's head to Avondale. Let's get Mitch up here on 1010XL. Mitch, how you doing?
Hey, man, real good. I think it was great on the pick six that we jumped up in the stands, gave the ball to a guy in the third row with a Ramsey shirt on.
That's kind of fun.
Really good.
Yeah.
I really hated after the Miles interception, we couldn't get a first down. That would have really locked a bunch in for us with time. But, you know, we still won.
And he had four turnovers, so it's hard to complain about that. You forced four of them.
Totally. Terrible call on Calais. Just, you know, the guy fell down on somebody's shoelace, you know, and got a unsportsmanlike or whatever. Terrible call.
I agree. Yeah. And, Mitch, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. That was a terrible call. However, there were 10 other calls that were also against the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I think they had 5 personal foul penalties today. Leon, we sit here every week, and we hear Doug Marrone every week. So we got to address the penalty situation. We got to be more disciplined. You got to do something about the penalties. We have too many penalties. I don't even want to hear that anymore. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Show me. Don't tell me. Every week it's the same thing. We got to, you know, get our penalty numbers down. We can't do stupid things. And then you go out there and you commit 5 personal fouls. You commit holding penalties. You commit pass interference. Why do you feel this team commits so many penalties?
I don't know. It has to be addressed because if you look at the Jaguars' schedule moving forward, outside of the Jets, like we talked about, you're going to play some teams in your division that penalties and mistakes like that are going to kill you. All right, against the Texans, you got to play the Colts twice. I mean, I'm not so much sure about the Chargers anymore. They just look bad right now. Tyson are taking them behind the woodshed. They're beating them pretty good. But, you know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to put yourself in a situation where penalties cost you football games. And right now you can get away with it with a bad team like the Bengals because the Bengals are bad and they weren't going to come back and beat you with the personal fouls and the holding and the roughing the passers and all that kind of stuff. You can get away with that kind of stuff when you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. But when you go down into the meat and potatoes of your schedule and you're trying to make a run and you're trying to make a playoff run, the last thing you want is the penalties to bite you in the backside.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, it's so bad now, and I wonder how many other Jaguar fans are like this, Jaguar media members. When a good play happens, I don't even really think about positive things for about 5 seconds until I make sure that yellow flag word doesn't appear on the bottom right corner of my TV screen. Seemingly every time Fournette busts a big run, or every time something good happens, particularly on special teams, just give it a minute, and sure enough, the flag is going to appear, and you know it's a block in the back, or it's a hold, or something. It's really bad how much the Jaguars are penalized. Let's head to the north side, 641-1010. Let's get Chris up here on 1010XL. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Chris, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, sir. Really well, actually. Celebrating this win. Just had two things for you guys real quick. For one, we won on the road, which, as you guys know, the Jaguars, that's tough to do. So I'm celebrating that. But the second thing, and this one's for Leon, you know, they show these stats with Leonard Fournette where he struggles to run to the right side. I thought Jawan Taylor was drafted to be the kind of road grading right tackle. Why do we struggle running to his side so much? Not necessarily his side, the right side.
Chris, thank you for the phone call.
Well, I mean, let's not forget, Jawan Taylor is a rookie, all right? So he's progressing as we speak. He's growing into his own as we speak. Now, that's not making an excuse for him, but he's a rookie. And he's playing next to a guy who is essentially a rookie. Will Richardson is a guy who didn't play at all last year. He was injured, right? So now he's in the role of playing right guard. So essentially your right guard and your right tackle are rookies, all right? So there are going to be some growing pains. There needs to be some cohesiveness. Now, they're big bodies. And I told people this all the time. People was talking about in training camp. People were saying, like, well, you know, Jawan Taylor's a big body. That doesn't matter in the NFL. Big bodies is good, but if your feet, your fundamentals aren't in check, those big bodies don't mean anything. So he's growing into his own, all right? There's a reason why They're running the ball. They're probably running the ball a lot more effectively in the middle, or maybe to the left a little bit more to the right. But I would
they
like
better
to say,
be running the ball to the left. Well, I mean, what they're paying over there.
First of all, the money's in the middle.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're watching Leonard Fournette and his stats, I mean, hopefully most of his yards are coming in between the center and your left guard, because that's essentially your bank. That's your brinks.
And to be fair, you know, we call guys out when they play bad. And what do we always say, Leon? Or what at least I always say? You obviously have a much different perspective. But if I don't notice you on the O-line, you're probably doing your job. You're not committing penalties. You're not giving up sacks. Got to be honest, man. I didn't notice Norwell that much today. Mm. So, to me, if I'm not noticing Norwell, did Norwell do a good job, in your opinion?
I think he did for the most part. Yeah. Him and Leonard play very well. If you look at a lot of Leonard Fournette's plays, a lot of his runs, his big runs, his battering runs, the 5 to 8 to 10 yard runs, they came essentially from the center, left guard, left side of the offensive line. So, that's a good sign. I mean, even when Robinson went down, you know, you put a Boye in there, and he still was effective. So that's good. I mean, right now, listen, the coordinator, he knows where the running game is having the most success because they break it down. But just give Juwan Taylor and Will Richardson some time. They're growing to their own right before their eyes, and they'll be a lot more effective.
Let's head to Arlington. Let's get Marino up here on 1010XL. Marino, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Marino, we're good, man. Well, how are you this week?
I'm all right. I'm happy we got the win. I think the defense really stepped up today. I think Miles Jack especially getting that pick. And all the defense played really good. And they, like they say, defense wins championships. Hey, thank you, guys.
Hey, Marino, thank you.
Appreciate
the phone call. Jaguars had a problem getting turnovers, right? And we talked about it a lot. They're just not forcing very many turnovers. They got 4 of them today. Can that be a domino effect? You know, you start getting turnovers. Maybe now this can open up, you know, so maybe take a few more chances, a few more, you know, risky plays, but with a big reward. Because, again, the Jaguars just were not forcing a lot of turnovers. Boy, they did come in bunches today.
Well, here's the thing. You beat a bad team at what they do badly, which is turn the ball over. Going into the game, the Bengals were a -5 when it came over to the turnover ratio, which means that they give away a lot of turnovers. So the Jaguars capitalize on it, okay? So we get 4 interceptions. We get 4 turnovers going into the game. So I would like to see how the Jets are. The Jets are another bad team. Now, they beat the Cowboys, but I'm pretty sure if you're 1-4, 1-5, wherever the Jets are, their turnover ratio is probably in the negative. So the Jaguars have another opportunity to capitalize on that. So that's what you got to do. When you go up against teams that don't play well, whatever they don't play, the Bengals were 0-6 for a reason, all right? They're 0-6 because they're bad and they turn the ball over. The Jets are 1-5 for a reason. I'm pretty sure they turn the ball over as well, and we got to capitalize on that.
We got a good one brewing in Nashville. 5 minutes to go. The Chargers have come back. Tennessee now with a 23-20 lead. How about Ryan Tannehill, who obviously is in for Marcus Mariota, who got benched? Tannehill, 21 of 27 for 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick today for Ryan Tannehill. So he is certainly getting the job done. They do lead by a field goal, 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We will keep you updated. 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's go out to Pontevedra, get Lane up here on 1010XL. Lane, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Wayne, how are you, man?
Doing great, brother. Great win. Hey, look, I know everybody's excited, and I think you teed it up earlier. We kind of find ourselves here in the same position every week after week. Kind of feels like Groundhog Day, but just a little bit ahead of ourselves here. But don't we think it's about time to maybe for Shaikon to look for a new leadership team? Maybe Doug and Tom, I think they've had their hands on this thing long enough to produce a different outcome than they produced thus far. But, you know, I'm just tired of feeling like Groundhog Day around here.
Hey, Lane, thank you for the phone call. Leon, I started doing sports radio in August of 2002. And you see a lot, you hear a lot over 17 years, right? I'm going to give Lane credit. That's the first time in my radio broadcasting career that I've had a caller call for a coach's job after a victory. How about that? The Jaguars go to Cincinnati, get a huge win, 27-17, 3-4 on the year now, feeling really good about things, and Lane wants Marone out of here. I don't know. There'll be a conversation for that at some point. We'll see what happens, but today would probably not be the day for that one.
No, it won't be the day for that. Now the Jaguars last year about this time was, what, 3-5? The expectations were a lot higher for this team last year than it was this year.
Yeah.
This year we're right in the mix with 3-4 with an opportunity to go 4-4 and maybe go 5-4. And now we're in the hunt. It's a little bit more refreshing this year that we're talking division playoffs than last year about this time, as we were speaking about how disappointed the Jaguars were and what we were going to do in the draft in April. So I just hope the mindset continues to change. Let the Jaguars keep winning games, and let's stay in this thing for a little bit.
See, and you know, I told you this on XL Primetime. I think you agreed. I didn't care about 2-4. After the loss to New Orleans, you throw all that aside. You have two very winnable games. You've already gotten one of them. You had Cincinnati, who was 0-6. You go up there, you get the W today. Now you're 3-4. Come home, beat a New York Jets team. I know that Sam Darnold's back. I understand that. We'll see how the Jets do tomorrow night. But it's going to be a Jets team on a short week coming into your house. If you beat the New York Jets, then you're 4-4, and you're right back to square one. It's come 360 degrees with 8 games to go.
Absolutely. And Sam Darnold, he's not Namath. I mean, he is beatable. I mean, if we do the same thing that we did today on both sides of the ball, run the ball effectively, Minshew take care of the ball, don't turn it over, play outstanding on defense, get some turnovers, there's absolutely no way we don't win that game next week against the Jets.
641-1010 is the phone number. Let's go to the south side. Let's get Joe up here on 1010XL. Joe, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? I appreciate you taking the call. Long-time listener. Great W. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but definitely the Band-Aid on the cut round. I can't be more excited. I mean, it sucks that, you know, other things are happening, but hey, you know, let's look at the positive things. We got the W. Means she looked good. Receivers maybe need to catch a little bit more balls, but hey, it'll come, and let's just keep on winning.
Hey, Joe, thank you for the phone call, man. Well said. And that's what we said, you know, right when we started the show, Leon. The city needed this. The fan base needed this. With all the Jalen Ramsey stuff, and again, he did that interview on ESPN Countdown today. I thought a lot of what he said was ridiculous, and we'll get into that more probably tomorrow on XL Primetime. But you just needed a win. You need something to feel good about. And tonight they do feel good. Minshew came back after a rough performance last week, threw for 255 yards, didn't turn the ball over. Fournette had a 130 on the ground. It is I understand the Bengals are awful, and I get it. You still went on the road in the National Football League, and you won a football game. And that is obviously better than the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I keep going back to last year, and I'm not a stickler on going, you know, last year's last year. But just remember, last year this team was 3-1, and we was at this time last year, we were on a four-game losing streak. There was no air to breathe here in Jacksonville because, you know, all the expectations of going to the Super Bowl. Now we're in a different situation, okay? Starting quarterback goes down. A starting cornerback, you know, fakes an injury so he can get up out of here, and he's traded to another team. Question marks in the linebacker, question marks secondary, question marks with the offensive line. All that stuff, it was in the play, and this team still rallied the troops. This team is still in the mix, and that's all that really matters right now. We're in the mix in a division race.
641-1010 is the phone number. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go, Jacksonville, with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Glad you're with us. It's the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock. The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. Presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
On the doorstep of the 7 o'clock hour with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you, the Jaguars, a 27-17 winner today over the Cincinnati Bengals. Jacksonville improves to 3-4 on the year. Jacksonville phone lines are open, 641-1010. We're with you tonight up until 8 o'clock every week. Here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by Superior Fence and Rail. Now, we had a lot of different options for the defensive player of the game. A lot of guys made a lot of plays. But in the end, one person had to win it, and one person did. Here is this week's Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Defense wins championships.
This is the Defensive Player of the Game, presented by Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
Three right, two left, he drops. Fires middle of the field. Intercepted by Miles Jack. Miles is running it back. Miles Jack, now he laterals the ball to Ronnie Harrison, and a flag comes in. Ronnie's running it along the left sideline. Ronnie Harrison is going to get knocked out of bounds. I'm guessing it's going to be an illegal forward pass, but a terrific interception by Miles Jack to stall the Bengals' drive.
Frank Franchi on the call, Jaguars Radio. It was a terrific interception from Miles Jack. Don't know about basically throwing the ball forward to his teammate. I think Ronnie Harrison was as surprised as that as everybody else was. But nevertheless, Miles Jack made a great play, stalled the Bengals' drive. It was a key moment in the game. And Miles Jack, because of that big play, Leon, is this week's Superior Fence and Rail Defensive Player of the Game.
Well-deserved. Outstanding interception. A little concerned about the handoff that he was trying to make.
Very weird. They'd bring back memories of Chris Hudson for you.
I know you were. What was that, 97?
98. Divisional playoff game in 98.
Yeah, when you get in that kind of situation, bro, just run with the ball. I know he was trying to make a play. But if you make the play, make sure you ladder it backwards. But you don't want to risk the opportunity of that being a fumble because it could have definitely turned the table.
There's no question.
So you don't want that to happen.
Absolutely no question.
I don't want to steal his glory. It was an outstanding interception. So Miles Jack is well-deserved of that.
Miles Jack, your defensive player of the game. Back to the phone lines at 641-1010. Is this B up in the state of Ohio? B, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guy?
What's going on, man?
Doing good, B.
All right. Big sirs, Hack. I wanna give a big shout out to our fans up in Cincy today. Great fans, a lot of them came up to support the Jaguars today, and I'm proud of them, you know. I'm proud of them in the different cities, seeing all those little kids running around in Jags jerseys, Burnett and all that. Great stuff. And the game was the game, you know, normal Jaguar game, first half, you know, what you can expect. Second half, of course, you know, was better. So I guess we're going to be better next time, you know, at least in the first half. So at our place. So we'll see.
Well, B, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, you know what I've noticed? And it's not so much, well, really, it's every week. Every week, the Jaguars seem to have a pretty good presence on the road. You know, they'll get a couple thousand fans that'll travel and go with the team. And I think that's awesome. I think that's incredible. I think that, you know, to spend money to support the team like that, I think is a terrific, terrific thing. And when you can go into somebody else's stadium and dominate for the most part, which is what the Jaguars did. They dominated the Cincinnati Bengals today. There was a shot, Leon, an overhead shot after the Ngakoue pick six. That showed Paul Brown Stadium there in Cincinnati. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Exit stage,
oh, my
right.
Goodness. There might have been 15,000 people in that stadium when the game ended. I mean, it is not a good situation in Cincinnati right now.
Well, I tell you what, the Jaguars, you know, on the road against the Broncos team, and I've played in Cincinnati. I played in Mile High. It's very, very difficult to play. They dominated in that game, okay? We go on the road again against the Cincinnati Bengals. We dominate again. So it's refreshing to see this team go into on the road and dominate the last two games. Well, you know, Carolina game was terrible, but we bounced back for that. We go on the road now, and we do an outstanding job.
Interesting things going on in Nashville. Phillip Rivers hit Austin Ekeler for a touchdown that would put the Chargers up with 37 seconds to go. The play is currently under review, so we'll see what happens. But they are coming down to the wire as it stands right now. Tennessee leading the Chargers 23-20 with 37 seconds to go. We will certainly keep you updated. Let's go to the south side here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL and bring up Ben. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing today?
Ben, we're wonderful. What's on your mind tonight?
Nothing much. So really quickly to carry on a couple of points you made. Miles Jack, obviously, great interception. I agree, defensive player of the game. He tried to make a little too much of that big play, you know, tossing it forward. But, hey, you know, defensive player, but, again, he's a linebacker, so he's not used to that kind of stuff, in my opinion. But, anyways, I also kind of want to touch on, I guess, what you mentioned with Ryan Tannehill, then I'm going to drag it back to the Jack. So Ryan Tannehill replaced Mariota today. Obviously, I will say this. I am a Dolphins fan too, but I've been Jacksonville for 5 years, not a huge Jacksonville fan. But I would say Tannehill, probably second to ours, is the best backup in the league. Now, obviously, he's our starter now, but coming into the season, Minshew was a backup. And I will say, right now, I think we're coming into a very good problem to where Foles is coming back in a couple weeks. We have a starter already in Minshew, in my opinion. I mean, I think we're just coming into a great problem. I just want to hear y'all's opinion on that.
Hey, Ben, thank you for the phone call. We're getting to that point, Leon, because Nick Foles reportedly could return to practice as early as Wednesday. Now, he's not going to play against the Jets, and he's not going to play in London against the Texans. Then you have the bye week, and then you could have a really interesting conversation. With what you've seen through 7 football games, if, and you don't, but hypothetically, if you had to make the decision right now, would you put Nick Foles back in, or would you stay with Gardner Minshew?
Right now, I will stay with Gardner Minshew. The kid has 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Outside of what? Now, my concern with him is turning the football over, you know, fumbling the football. That's concerning. But the kid doesn't throw interceptions. He's taking his time with his progressions and getting to the receivers. Leonard Fournette is running the ball well. I mean, that factors in as well. Leonard Fournette running the ball well. Now, if Leonard wasn't running the ball and Minshew was just throwing the ball all over the place, that would be concerning to me. But we seem to have a little balance on offense now, have a little bit of balance. Minshew's completion rate is down a bit. You know, he completed 50% of his passes today and has been dwindling down from 75. It was crazy, like 78 or something like
that.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous for a while.
Yeah, so right now it's probably mid-60s or something like that. So it's been dwindling it down a little bit. But if I had to go right now, I still go with the kid.
You look at his touchdown interception ratio, it's terrific.
Yeah.
10 touchdown passes to only 2 interceptions. Like we said, Andy Dalton, 3 more interceptions this afternoon than Gardner Minshew has the entire year. Now, the fumbling has been an issue, but that did not happen today. And I thought you got to see the defense kind of tee off a little bit on the Bengals, which is what happens when you're able to establish dominance and get an early lead. And you know, with that comes the defense taking more chances and getting more rewards because of those chances.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's us talking on radio. All right. So during the bye week, Nick Foles is going to play a lot. He's going to practice a lot more. He's going to be more implemented. He's going to be back in the offensive meeting. There's going to be plays. He's going to be running with the ones and everything like that. That's going to happen. Now, it's going to be a decision that has to be made by the coaching staff on who they want to roll with. You know, everyone's going to say Nick has the experience, especially in November, December, what he's done with the Eagles. Well, that was the Eagles. We're the Jaguars, okay? All right, so if the kid is rolling and rocking and rolling with us, let the kid roll.
Back to the phone line, 641-1010. Let's head to St. John's County. Octavius here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Octavius, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing tonight?
We're good. We're good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Loving that Jags win. We needed it so bad. It was definitely a must win for the Jags. Definitely next week for sure. Hopefully going to 500 to London. It's funny, the previous caller mentioned Nick Foles, and you guys are talking about Nick Foles. I think if Nick Foles didn't get hurt in week one, I mean, could the Jags really be sitting potentially at 6-1 rather than 3-4 right now? I mean, while I love Minshew, I think he's balling right now. But I think with someone like Foles under the helm, there are some games and situations where I think Foles might have pull through, and we could be sitting at maybe 5-2, 6-1. Just want to get your thoughts on that, guys.
Octavius, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. I think with what Christian McCaffrey did to you in Carolina, I don't know if it matters who the quarterback is. Now, I know Minshew made some mistakes and they fumbled there, but you allowed Carolina 500 yards on offense. That's on the defense. Mm-hmm. Now, the New Orleans game, there's maybe a conversation to be had there, but would the Jaguars be better than 3-4 with Nick Foles? That's an impossible question to answer. If you want my opinion, maybe they'd be 4-3. I don't think they'd be much better than that.
Yeah, we can only speculate on how more effective Nick Foles would have been if he didn't get hurt. I mean, I think the battle against the Saints probably been a little bit more formidable. I'll take Nick Foles over Teddy Bridgewater any day. But, you know, our secondary, our receivers quit on a lot of our routes.
Receivers didn't get open
last week. So, and then, like you said, against the Carolina, I mean, we gave up 500 yards against the Carolina Panthers. So, I tell you what, I would give, if Nick Foles was healthy, I'd give him a game one game over Minshew right now. So we'll be sitting at, what, 4-3?
Yeah, 4-3. And you know, look, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, talked a lot about the running backs. I want to give a salute to D.D. Westbrook. I thought D.D. Westbrook played a really good game today. I thought Chris Conley was finally back in the offensive game plan. For whatever reason, they just hadn't been throwing the ball to Conley very much. He made another impact today. Had a couple of drops. You want to clean those up. But Conley was back in the game plan today. DJ Chark only had 3 grabs, but again, he had 53 yards. He had a 20-yard end-around reverse. So DJ Chark still making some things happen. Those three, particularly the two, Westbrook and Chark, and you throw Conley into the equation, I kind of like what they have at wide receiver. Those guys are making plays. But, Leon, you addressed it in the first hour, and you're dead on right. Man, they got to get something out of the tight end position. James O'Shaughnessy is not Kellen Winslow, but yet you would think he is, because since O'Shaughnessy has left and gotten injured, they have got nothing going at tight end right now.
Yeah, that's what's been hurting us in the red zone right now. Minshew doesn't have a bailout, because most of the time the defensive secondary is covering the wide receiver. We're running from there, and then we're running play action off of from there, and we're throwing the wide receivers. That essentially should be going to your tight ends, to be quite honest with you, and we don't have one right now that can effectively get open to be impactful and score points. So that's got to change. I mean, I would love to see Josh Oliver, see what the kid can do out there. I don't know if he's healthy. I don't know if he's 100%. But somewhere down the road, when we start playing these better teams, field goals ain't going to cut it. I mean, field goals are good when you're playing against the Bengals. But when you got to see the Colts twice, you got to see the Titans in Tennessee, and you got to see the Texans on the road in London, I mean, they're going to score points. We got to be able to match them.
Well, it's like we talked about. Gardner Minshew threw for 255 yards today. Leonard Fournette ran for 131 yards today. They moved the ball offensively, over 400 yards of offense. Yeah, Leon, at the end of the day, one offensive touchdown. That's it.
That's it.
The one touchdown to Keelan Cole, and I had a 2-point with Conley, but getting in the end zone, you had 8 points. You combine that with the Ngakoue score, you combine that with 3 Josh Lambeau field goals, and that's how you get to 24. So that's pretty surprising. You would have over 400 yards of offense, and yet only get in the end zone one time.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars got a win today, but there's still going to be some corrections in the film study on tomorrow. And we can still get better, because we should be ascending right now as we get closer and closer to not only the bye week, but potentially, you know, make a playoff push.
I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day of the week.
All day long.
No doubt about it. Let's head to Yulee on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Let's get Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, a couple of quick things. One, love the win. Like y'all just mentioned, offensive woes, got to punch it in the red zone. Two, that 10-6 season a couple years ago, one thing I've noticed different than the past two seasons is the special teams, man. We're not doing the fake or the running from special teams and stuff like that. Get back to that, I mean, that could help us out. Also, a couple more things. One, go Jags. I'll take it off there.
All right, Mike, thank you. The only thing about special teams, we're going to do it in the next segment. I can guarantee you who the special teams player of the game is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best kicker in football. No. He's the best kicker in the NFL. He's right here in Jacksonville. The guy just doesn't miss. He's a machine. And Josh Lambeau performed very, very well. But he's right. Remember two years ago, Jadon Mickens was back there doing his thing, had some punt returns. In fact, against Cincinnati 2 years ago, he had a punt return for a touchdown. Jadon Mickens is long since gone, but the Jaguars aren't getting those long returns like maybe they had 2 years ago.
Well, listen, our only special teams weapon right now is Josh Lambeau. He's the most outstanding kicker in the NFL, to be quite honest with you. But our punt returns, kickoff returns. Now, we had a special team turnover against the Titans. We had a special team turnover against. But we need more of those. I mean, we need anything that can effectively change the field position in our favor. I mean, special teams wise. I mean,
do you like that D.D. Westbrook's the returning punts? Isn't that asking for trouble when you have a starting wide receiver as your punt returner?
Yeah, that is asking for trouble. That's like having Jimmy Smith back there.
Right, and if D.D. Westbrook comes up lame with an ankle or a knee doing that, there's going to be a lot of what are you doing having one of your starting wide receivers returning punts.
But who's your other option?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah,
they don't have one. Yeah, so we got to roll with that.
Yeah, so that needed to be addressed in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Find a return guy. You don't need to have your starting wide receiver back there in harm's way returning punts. I don't like that. And then we'll see what happens. Hopefully, D.D. Westbrook can stay healthy. But, man, every time he returns punts, you just kind of hold your breath. All right, Eugene, Reggie, the rest of you guys, hang in there. You'll be up on the other side. I promise we'll get to you. We're with you until 8 o'clock, Jacksonville. If you're not on the lines and you want to get on, now would be the time. It's 641-1010. That is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. You are the city of Jacksonville, and your Jaguars are winners today, 27-17 over the Cincinnati Bengals. The Jaguars improved to 3-4 on the year. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
They throw it out quickly to the left side. That ball is caught by Tyler Boyd, a little wide receiver screen. Now the ball comes out. The ball comes out, and Jacksonville has it, I believe. A defensive takeaway at the best time for Jacksonville. Ronnie Harrison recovers it, and the Jags take over near their own 43-yard line.
Frank Franzi, Jaguars Radio. I believe DJ Hayden forced the fumble. Ronnie Harrison recovered. That was one of four takeaways for the Jaguar defense today as they it was a dominating effort. Look, Cincinnati got a touchdown late, kind of made it look a little better than it really was. It was a dominating performance today by the Jaguar defense, and they win it 27-17. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we give you a special teams player of the game. It is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic, and let's do that right now. The McKeever Clinic, special teams player of the game.
Now, the special teams player of the game.
We be special.
Brought to you by the urological specialists of McKeever Clinic.
I know they were short field goals, Leon, but he made every one of them. He's the best kicker in the NFL, and his name is Josh Lambeau. Every single week, the guy just does a terrific job. Again, Justin Tucker in Baltimore's good. When he's healthy, Gostkowski in New England. There's a lot of good kickers. I would put Josh Lambeau against any one of them. He has been nothing short of terrific since arriving here in Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing about Josh Lambeau, when he walks onto the field, it's almost automatic. I mean, when you've got a kicker, he runs out on the field, it's iffy. He's hit or miss. Well, this guy here, I mean, he's kicking, 95% of his field goals are going in. I mean, he's been outstanding. Now he needs help. Special teams, while I mean, we just talked about it in the earlier segment. If we could get some guys, punt returners, kickoff returners, some strips, strips on kickoff return or punt return, change the field, the momentum or the field position a little bit, if we're clicking on the offensive side, defense side, special teams, now you get that's a complete game,
yeah,
in my opinion.
No, I agree. And Josh Lambeau is this week's special teams player of the game. Phone calls right around the corner, 641-1010. Jacksonville, if you want to get in, we'll take you. We're with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Tennessee won the game against the Chargers. That's going to be a long flight home for Los Angeles. They had the ball on the Titan one-yard line, trailing 23-20 with 30 seconds to go. They run Melvin Gordon. The ball comes out. It's ruled down by contact on the field. They go to the replay booth. Replay deems that Melvin Gordon fumbled the ball into the end zone. The Tennessee Titans recover. That is a touchback. And Tennessee, under Ryan Tannehill, who threw for 300 yards today, beats the Chargers 23-20. The Titans improved to 3-4. Boy, the Chargers are 2-5. Biggest disappointment in football?
They got to be. I had them in the AFC Championship game.
I think the Chargers, who didn't have them going into the playoffs, if nothing else. I mean, people might have had Kansas City winning that division, but I think a large, overwhelming majority at minimum had the Chargers making the postseason.
Yeah, that's terrible. Fumble in the end zone, huh?
Fumble in the end zone.
So the Titans are tied with us, huh? So they're still in the mix.
Yeah.
That's the last thing we need.
And here's the division now. Indianapolis in first place at 4-2. Houston in second at 4-3. The Jaguars in third at 3-4. The Titans, because the Jaguars have a tiebreaker, are last at 3-4. But there you go, 4-2, 4-3, 3-4, 3-4.
Oh, it's a race.
It's a race.
It's a race.
Everybody's jumbled in there together, no question. Back to the phone lines at 641-1010. Let's go to the north side here on the fifth quarter. Let's get Eugene up here on 1010XL. Eugene, how you doing?
All right. How we doing, gentlemen?
Eugene, we're well tonight, man.
Well, Eugene.
Great. Quick point of answers. I like to do history. When you talk about this quarterback situation the Jaguars got, it takes you back to Earl Morrow and Bob Green, Roger Staubach, Craig Morton, Brett Favre, and the gentleman that's playing for Green Bay. And the Jags have a good problem, you know, and it's the way the NFL has evolved in college. You have to have two starting quarterbacks anymore. And I think Gardner Minshew is the future of the Jaguars. And I think Foles is who they brought in. And you guys know more about football than me. I don't think the owner, Shot Khan, is going to have a gazillionaire sitting on the bench in the second string position. And he brought him and pinned him to be his starting quarterback. I take my answer off the line.
Eugene, appreciate it. We're getting close to having the conversation, so we'll kind of do an appetizer. How much will the dollar amount that Nick Foles is scheduled to make, not only this year but next year, how much will that weigh on the decision of who's going to play quarterback?
No, well, listen, we're naive to believe that it doesn't have, it's not factored in some capacity. But if the Jaguars keep winning football games with Gardner Minshew, if Gardner Minshew 3 weeks from now has this team at, what, 6-4?
It'd be 5-4.
5-4?
Yeah.
And he's got what? Let's say he has let's say he has 15 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. How do you not keep the kid in the game?
I agree.
I mean, you've got to keep him in the game. You're 5-4. He's got 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Not turning the ball over. Fournette's running well. Offensive line is healthy. We're converting on third downs. We're scoring points. Why would you pull the kid?
Well, what's going to be curious is there's going to be some pressure on Gardner Minshew. It started even today, but it really is going to get amped up next Sunday against the Jets with the knowledge that Nick Foles is back on the practice field. And look, I mean, Gardner Minshew has been great. Minshew mania. We got a win today. They're 3-4. They're in the thick of it. I get it. If Gardner Minshew doesn't go out and win these next two games, it makes it a little easier for the Jaguars to put Nick Foles in there. Mm-hmm. If what you said happens and Gardner Minshew goes out there and beats the New York Jets, goes to London and beats the Houston Texans, it's a lot harder for the Jaguars to justify putting Nick Foles in there. So there's going to be some pressure on the rookie.
So Gardner Minshew is week to week, basically.
Well, I don't know if I'd go week to week, but I will say is this.
Well, he's week to week after these next two games.
I almost hate to even classify it like that, but I think, you know, you talk about being naive. I think it's naive to think if the Jaguars are 3-6, then Nick Foles won't come back in.
Oh, that's easy.
At 4-5, would Nick Foles come back in? I don't know.
That's a coin toss,
and
I would think.
At 5-4, I don't know how you pull the kid.
No, me either.
So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Let's go to East Arlington is our next stop. East Arlington here on the fifth quarter. Let's get Reggie up here on 1010XL. Reggie, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Y'all doing all right?
Reggie, we are wonderful, bud. How are you?
Cool. Hey, I'm going to mess with Leon for a little bit, man. I used to hang with him for a little bit. I hung up with him for a little bit. Anyway, he might not remember me or not. But I was talking to my buddy LeVon Kirkland last week, and I told him you was poking fun at him on the radio. You was going to send a shout-out by Pedro Pablo to him about something that had happened. And he told me to tell you, man, champagne and chicken wings for everybody. And another thing, he told me to tell you, also remember who gave you your first concussion, brother.
Oh. LeVon Kirkland, huh? Hey, now
he was a roommate of mine at Clemson, man.
Okay, so, yeah, I tell you what, you tell LeVon Kirkland, all right? He'll always be number two because I was first round.
Ooh. I got you.
All right.
Question on there, man. With the remaining schedule, man, you think we have an opportunity to get in this playoff race, or what do you guys think as far as the wins and the losses that may happen coming up?
Hey, Reggie, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, of course. You're right in the thick of it right now. I mean, if you look, let me pull it up right here because I was shocked when I saw this last week. If you look at the standings, now with the understanding that there are games that are still ongoing, but if you look at the AFC as a whole, and again, it's way too early to be doing this. I want to take it week by week, but since the caller asked, you know, you got six teams that would make the playoffs. If the playoffs started right now at 7:30 Eastern time on October, what is, I don't even know what today is, October 18th, 19th, whatever day it is. 20th. The 20th. Sure it is, October 20th. New England would be the one seed. Kansas City would be the two. The three seed would be Indianapolis. And the four seed would be Baltimore. The five seed would be the Buffalo Bills. The six seed would be the Houston Texans. The Texans would be in the playoffs at 4-3 right now. The Jaguars are 3-4. They're one game out. Now, the Texans have a tiebreaker, and I get that, but we still got nine games to go. The bottom line is in the AFC right now, Tennessee, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Denver, the Chargers, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bengals are all behind the Jaguars in the standings. They are right in the middle of it in the AFC, which is where you want to be. You want to at least be in the conversation, and the Jaguars are there at the midpoint of the year.
Exactly. You want to be in the mix right now. When your $88 million quarterback goes down in week one, I'm not sure too many Jaguar fans were looking at this season. A lot of people were like, this season was a wash until Gardner Minshew came out there and he played effective. Everybody was like, okay, this six-round kid, rookie, whatever, how much can he do? But he's been good. He's brought us to this point. And I tell you this, as bad as we played in Carolina, we still had a chance to win that game. We lose to the Texans because we went for two, and the play calling was horrendous. And I like to say Minshew, he got us down there. I like to see him with the – so those you got those two games that you could have easily won. And then the Saints game, that was a coin flip. I mean, we just didn't play well in that game. But if you give us two games right now, we could easily be sitting here at what, 5-2?
You've only been blown out of one game. Yeah, that's Kansas City.
Yeah, we've been every game.
One thing to keep in mind, too, yes, they are 3-4. But when you talk about tiebreakers and all that, and hopefully it gets to this. Hopefully we're having this conversation, you know, a month and a half, 2 months from now. A lot of tiebreakers are, first off, your division record and then your conference record. 3-4, you lose to Carolina, you lose to New Orleans. Those are non-conference opponents. That's not going to hurt you in the tiebreaker perspective of things. If you're going to lose games, lose them to NFC opponents. You want to beat your AFC opponent, and that's what the Jaguars have been doing with beating Tennessee, beating Denver, and beating Cincinnati. The Jaguars are 3-2 in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
They're 0-2 against the NFC, and yeah, that's not good, but it doesn't hurt you as much as losing to AFC opponents. Let's go out to the beaches, get Glenn here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm well, guys. Yourselves, I hope?
Glenn, we are good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I just wanted to try to be a little objective tonight. I'm a season ticket holder since day one, and I've watched, you know, a lot of Jaguar football. And do not misinterpret my phone call, okay? I will support our team, and I will ride the roller coaster like everybody else. But I wonder sometimes what team people are watching, because in my objective view, this is not a very good football team. And we've gotten a lot worse by losing Jalen Ramsey, which I'm glad we traded him. Minshew is looking more and more ordinary the more that they get the book on him and they defense him. Good, looks like he'll probably be a good backup in the long run. We are really bad at linebacker. We are no good at cornerback now except for Boye. And our offense is absolutely pedestrian. And, you know, I just that's the football team I see. I don't know what everybody else is watching. I see them play a Cincinnati team that is the worst team that I've seen since our Jaguar team when we stripped it down to nothing under Gus Bradley. I mean, that Cincinnati team is horrible.
All right, Glenn, let me stop you right there. And certainly I respect your opinion. I think you even sent us a tweet with your thoughts earlier, and I was going to respond to you on social media. I also see a Jaguar team, for what it's worth, since you're throwing it out there, they lost to the New Orleans Saints 13-6. The New Orleans Saints are in Soldier Field right now, and they are bludgeoning the Chicago Bears, just beating the Bears to death. I see a Jaguar team that loses to Carolina by a touchdown, a Carolina team that is currently 4-2 on the year and tied for first place in their division. So you can go both ways. And there is times to be critical, and look, we welcome all opinions. But when the Jaguars win a football game, I mean, as a season ticket holder, Don't you want to embrace that as opposed to pointing out all the negatives you just did?
I'm not pointing out negatives, and that's why I was hoping that you would give me a chance and explain that I'm not pointing out negatives. I'm pointing out reality, and I'm going to be there with the Jets screaming my head off like I've done for 25 years. But I'm just a realist, and I did not like Leon and have played the game except at the high school level. But I've been to more football than I care to admit and watched more football than I care to admit. And this is an average football team at best. And the reality is that we're going to have to take these next 2 years of draft picks and build another football team. And I really hope that we build a football team that resembles something from the coming decade and not something from 3 yards in a cloud of dust and playing great defense, because that's not where the NFL is going, guys.
All right, Glenn, thank you for the phone call. Wow. I mean, look, you know, he pointed out some flaws, and I get it. Are the Jaguars perfect? Of course not. They have a sixth-round backup quarterback rookie starting for them because of an injury to Nick Foles. Their best player just lied about a back injury for a month to force his hand to get traded out of here. The Jaguars have had Guiding Light and As the World Turns and General Hospital, all the soap operas you can think of, converge at that stadium for the first 7 weeks of this year. Mm-hmm. And now after all that's gone, you shift off the problem in Jalen to L.A., you know, Gardner Minshew starting now to come around, Nick Foles even coming back on the practice field.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are still at 3-4. I don't think the Jaguars are maybe as good as some Jaguar fans think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as bad as Glenn wanted to make them out to be.
Listen,
either.
There's a saying, there's no crying in football. All right, we lost our quarterback. We bring in a rookie. Jalen gives us all this drama for the last 3 weeks. This team could have easily imploded.
Sure.
It could have easily imploded. A lot's got to be said about this coaching staff and keeping these guys together. Because like you said, there's never been a game that we haven't been in the game. There's never been no blowouts.
Even the Kansas City game, middle of the third, you're in that game before the fumble.
Absolutely. I mean, before the Leonard Fournette fumble, I mean, we're going in there, and now it's a possessional game. One-possession game.
Chicago is getting boat raced right now.
Exactly.
In their own stadium by New Orleans. That has not happened to Jacksonville in seven games.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I understand his frustrations, but he's saying that the Jaguars don't look the part. What team really does? We thought the Kansas City Chiefs, when they came in here and beat us week one, we thought they was going to run the table. What have they done? Now, Mahomes has been hurt. You know, with the ankle.
Well, heck, they won that game.
Yeah.
Two games he was in there at home, they lose to the Colts and
exactly.
the Texans.
So what?
Other than the Patriots, a lot of teams have flaws.
Listen, so what? We don't look the part. All right? Right now, we're 3-4. We're, what, third place in our division. We're a game and a half out of being in first place. And we've got essentially two winnable games. We got a game against the Jets, and we got a game against the Houston Texans, where we go to London, where we're familiar with. We could be sitting at the bye week at 5-4. And probably in second place, or maybe even in first place in the division. So, I mean, so what? We don't look the part. I mean, it doesn't matter what the girl looked like at the prom, long as you take her.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know what I'm
look,
saying?
There are 32 teams. Last time I checked, one of them is going to win the Super Bowl. There are a lot of teams that are going to fall short this year. There are a lot of teams with a lot of flaws. I think Jacksonville's in the middle of the pack. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're Cincinnati either, which is what was proven today, as Jacksonville went to Cincinnati and gave the Bengals an absolute beating. One more segment of phone calls to go, Jacksonville. If you want to get on board, you are more than welcome to do so at 641-1010. With former Jaguar, offensive tackle Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you. Phone calls to come. It's the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Final segment of the fifth quarter. Are you a Van Halen guy over there?
Oh, yeah.
You're getting after it, man.
Jump, baby.
I like that.
Great
Big
song,
Leon.
Great song.
Likes his Van Halen. Well, Van Halen's probably would be on my, if you do a band Mount Rushmore, Van Halen's probably there. Love me some Van Halen. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you play of the game. It is brought to you by Performance Painting. Let's do it right now. The Performance Painting play of the game.
Now, the Performance Painting play of the game.
What?
Performance Painting. Quality coatings applied with pride.
Two receivers to either side. He drops the throw against a four-man rush. It's going to be a screen, and it is picked off by Yannick Ngakoue to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, pick 6. Yannick Ngakoue extends the lead for Jacksonville.
Frank Franchi, Jaguars Radio. What a play it was for Yannick Ngakoue. A pick 6 to the house, and that pretty much put the game on ice. The Jaguars, a 27-17 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. How great must that have been for Ngakoue to take that one to the house?
Hey, outstanding play. Outstanding defensive play. I like to see him do a little high step, though, when he went in the end zone.
A little bit.
A little showboat a little bit. What was an outstanding play? I mean, he read it well. I mean, it was just a god-awful throw by Dalton.
What was the stat? Dalton threw 3 interceptions and 5 snaps.
Oh, yeah.
3 interceptions in the span of 5 offensive snaps for the Bengals.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
He is just not very good. No question about it. Final segment of phone calls. We got about 10 minutes to go. If you're on the line, we will get to you. We will start by going to the north side. Let's get Thomas up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Thomas, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Thomas, we're good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to congratulate the Jaguars and also congratulate another Florida team. The Rattlers, they won today, and they're number one in the MEAC. So congratulations to them. But also, I wanted to talk about Fournette. I think he's a power runner. I think instead of going over top on the goal line, I think that he should hit the hole strong. And also, I'm very proud of the wide receivers and that they're making a lot of yards after the catch, and they're kind of elevated their game as opposed to what we're used to seeing.
Hey, Thomas, thank you. I thought Dede Westbrook almost looked like he intercepted a Minshew pass. So what I mean by that was, it was in the fourth quarter, and Minshew's scrambling. It looks like the defensive back's going to intercept this thing, and Dede Westbrook just comes from out of the blue to make the catch. It was a fantastic catch for Dede Westbrook. I'm not sure if Minshew threw it in the best spot for him to get it, but Dede made the catch, and today was kind of Dede day. Look, we've had DJ Chark day. We've had Chris Conley day. We had James O'Shaughnessy day before he got hurt. Today was kind of all about Dede Westbrook, over 100 yards receiving.
Hey, you know, it's been a while. We've been waiting for that because, you know, early on in the season, you know, we were concerned about him in the Tennessee Titan game with the drops and everything like that. So it was good to see Dede Westbrook. I mean, he's the number one receiver. You know, Chark has been playing outstanding, but it was good to see Dede, you know, come about and have the type of game that he had.
If you're Fournette, you go over the top a lot in those pile situations. Other defenses know that at this point. You got to stop doing that, right? You got to find something else in your repertoire.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, when he saw – listen, I'm not going to make any excuses for him, but I'm pretty sure that if he felt that he could run in between the guards to get to the play, if there wasn't – it had to be some kind of penetration. I have to watch the film. Had to be some kind of penetration where he felt that the only way he could get in the end zone was by leaping. I told you they slanted, and they left the middle linebacker open. So in the slant, they gave up some penetration. So I guess he felt his only alternative was the leap. Unfortunately, when he leaped, that middle linebacker was unblocked, so he caught him in the air.
We'll get 2 more phone calls in tonight. Bob and Sam. We'll begin with Bob here on 1010XL on the fifth quarter. Bob, what do you got?
Hey, a question for you. Can you name the only NFL quarterback in NFL history to have 10 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions in his first 7 games?
I would imagine that's probably Gardner Minshew.
Yes, it is. You know, I can be the glass half empty type person. Does Gardner look like he needs a little help? Yeah. So my question for you is, do they go out and get a tight end? I mean, the rumor, what I've seen is O.J. Howard's available. He's a lot better than anything we've had in quite a long time. You would control him for another couple of years. You get him on the cheap, and that's something that Nick Foles is going to need as a tight end. And if all we got is the guys that we're running out right there for tight end, it could be a long season, but you know, I'm the glass half full right now. We're looking really good and very excited about the team. And again, it's a breath of fresh air when you don't have a guy who can't throw a screen pass over a lineman.
Hey, Bob, thank you for the phone call. You don't see a lot of trades in the NFL. The Jaguars have already made, obviously, a huge one. I would be surprised if they make another trade. I mean, I know people are talking about O.J. Howard. What's that going to cost you? Maybe a third, maybe a fourth round pick? I don't know. I don't know if I would go that route. I'd like to see what you got from Josh Oliver, but it's going to be hard because, again, he's a third-round rookie from San Jose State. He didn't play at all in the preseason. They have issues at tight end. There's no question about it, but I don't know if you're going to go make another splash in the trade market.
Well, they need to do something. I mean, this lack of production in the red zone is concerning. I mean, especially today against a very, very, very bad team. All right, if you can't punch it in, you got to wait. Have 4 or 5 trips within the red zone, and we kick 3 field goals. I mean, you know, something has to be said if you're going to be making this push or you're going to be competitive in the AFC South. You got to score points. You don't have to score points against the coach. You don't have to score points against the Texans. And these field goals, as much as I love Josh Lambeau, we're going to have to start. I would rather see him kick more extra points than field goals.
Jags have injury problems at tight end, certainly. Speaking of injury problems, every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you an injury update. It is brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. E, let's do it right now. The Farrah and Farrah injury update.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Not only at the tight end position, boy, they got issues at linebacker. Now, Quincy Williams left the game. I believe he ultimately came back in. Najee Good left the game. DJ Alexander came in, also left the game with a foot injury. They, I don't know if they have enough healthy linebackers to actually make a 53-man roster. They may need to go out and sign a linebacker or two this week, depending on the status of Good and Alexander. But, boy, they are super razor-sharp thin at the linebacker position right now.
Yeah, that's concerning. That's very concerning. When two of your guys that you depend on the linebacker position essentially could be out for a couple of weeks or whatever. So, yeah, and while you're out there, get a tight end. All right, that would be nice.
It would be nice. Let's close out the phone calls. One more. Let's go to Orange Park and get Sam. Sam, you're in Under the Wire tonight here on 1010XL. What's happening?
Good evening, gentlemen. First of all, we forget to say the most important thing. Thank you so much for allowing us to give our opinion, and I appreciate you guys being patient, giving us your feedback and so forth and so on. Listen, I did almost cry. I was on the edge of my seat throughout the whole game almost. But at the end of the day, we pulled a W. Come on, Jack Nation. Let's go and celebrate the W. It was 3-4. My question was, the reason I called, the play that 91 intercepted and ran it in for a touchdown. Did you guys see Tavian Bryant hassle the quarterback? I haven't heard anybody say anything about that, but I think it was him who got to the quarterback. Was I wrong, or?
No, Sam, you're not wrong. We appreciate the phone call, appreciate the kind words. Taven Bryan was in the backfield a couple of times. I thought Taven Bryan did have an effect on that play, maybe caused Dalton to throw the ball earlier than he wanted, which is why Ngakoue picked it off. Taven Bryan also had a tackle for loss in the backfield on Joe Mixon. I want to say the Bengals lost like 3 or 4 yards on that play. So Taven Bryan, look, we criticized him when he wasn't playing very well. We got to give him the kudos when he is, and Taven Bryan has been playing better the last few games.
He has. You got to give him the props when he plays well, because we've been hard on him since the preseason about how ineffective he's been getting off tackles or getting off blocks and stuff. So it's good to see him have a good – he had a good game today.
All right, Leon, we're going to do this again at high noon tomorrow on XL Primetime. We got about 2 minutes to go this evening. The Jaguars win 27-17. They beat a bad football team. But, look, it's a W. It's a W on the road. And you will certainly take it. Your 2 or 3 biggest takeaways from the Jaguars' victory today?
Well, turnovers. That was all we talked about with the Jaguars was what they weren't getting any turns. They weren't getting any turnovers. Consistency with the run game. The run game has been good over the last couple of weeks. Leonard Fournette has run well. I think this is his third time over 100 yards rushing. So offensive line, Leonard Fournette has played well. Gardner Minshew didn't turn the ball over. And not only talking about interceptions, but I'm talking about fumbles. Then he wasn't careless with the football. There was a couple of times where he scrambled out there where he thought he was going to get stripped or whatever. He took care of the football. So those three things right there, if you do that a lot of times week in and week out, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Wasn't it nice, too, where in the fourth quarter the game's not really in doubt? You're not on the edge of your seat because, mm-hmm. I mean, early in the fourth quarter, but by the time you got to the 7-8 minute mark, the Jaguars kind of had this thing in the bag. And mm-hmm. there hasn't been a lot of opportunities like that this year. Win or lose, the Jaguars have been in some nail biters. This one kind of could take it easy as a fan. You knew the game was under control. Very nice feeling to have, particularly on
great
the road.
Great feeling on the road.
Well, we'll see what happens. Right. But again, the Jaguars now 3-4. On the year, And they will play the New York Jets next week. Leon will do it again at high noon tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, baby.
That is Leon Searcy. E, great job by you. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Thank you, Jacksonville, for listening to the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We have been presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles. Have a great night, everybody. And Leon and I will talk to you at high noon tomorrow on XL Primetime. I can't get no rid-